The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You're talking about a man that is so proud. So proud from being Iran. I saw him walking down the beach with his girlfriend. The only difference between him and his girlfriend was 10 pounds and a bikini, and the sheik had the bikini on and she had the 10 pounds and no $100 bill on the forehead. You're talking about a guy with a mug like a bulldog who has the audacity to get on TV with this humongous, ugly, nasty face. The only difference between us is ugly. That's the only difference. You know what you're talking about. You're talking about a couple of studs. You see what you're talking about here? Now someone's going to get hurt because I ain't just going to use my fist. I'm going to use chairs. I'm going to use buffaloes. I might grab the kid. I might beat him to death with my canary. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know one thing for sure. I ain't dating none of his broads.
I'm Roddy Piper. Bitch, I'm Roddy Piper. A bitch get Roddy, she know I'm going to pipe her. I hit one time for the kill like a sniper. I don't give a fuck.
Gotta pay some tribute to the Hot Rod right there.
Hell yeah.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. Rest in peace, brother. Sucks.
Yeah.
And I also learned that there's a lot of really bad songs about Roddy Piper, and that was the hook to one of them. I won't make you guys have to endure the rest of that song, but let's just say he's inspired many, including bad rappers.
Nice.
So I figured what better way to get things going? Of course, we've got our good friend Top Shelf, the mighty Reverend Infuego, everybody's favorite Mono Nick, who is the master of the domain. We'll talk about that in a little bit. He's the champ.
Nah.
I figured Jam of the Week, it's a song that the WWE used to pay tribute to Hot Rod. It's Greg Holden, Hold On Tight. Great song.
I've been selling my name for the sake of who knows. I've been trying to explain how it's all gonna go. I don't take my life for granted. I've been waking up tight day after day. Hope is taking its time to go my way, but I don't take my life for granted. I'm gonna hold on tight to what I've been handed.
Who's in charge of like the production and the video packages that the WWE does, but when they need to, they bring it. Like the piece that they put together for Hot Rod was unbelievable, and they used this song as the backdrop with all the great footage of Hot Rod doing what Hot Rod does.
Awesome.
Man, hit you in the feels if you're a fan, that's for sure.
Yeah, who is this again? Sorry.
Greg Holden. The song's okay. Called Hold On Tight. Holden's holding on tight.
Take your life for granted. Don't take your life for granted.
I've always said it's a...
Why don't you hold...
Especially after Dusty Rhodes died, it got me thinking a lot about like just the legacy of certain wrestlers and what they'll leave for fans. And I've always viewed like there's a big five or a big four... Obviously, whether or not you love the guy or not, but these days, I mean, maybe he doesn't exist. But Hulk Hogan, of course, would be on that for everything that he did for in the 80s. You got to throw Ric Flair in there for everything he's done. Dusty Rhodes for what he's done as well. Randy Savage and then Roddy Piper. I feel like those are the five. Like those five right there kind of, for me at least, that symbolizes what wrestling, why wrestling is great.
Yeah.
Hot Rod, Todd. Man, that guy's the best. He was just great on the mic. He was always great when we interviewed him.
He was great on It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, oh, jeez. He was so awesome in It's Always Sunny. He's just a fun guy. And it's funny because I'm watching this piece and I'm trying not to get emotional because I know my wife will goof on me if I do. Me and my manopause. But she's even watching it and she knows nothing about Roddy Piper except for what I say and the love that I have for the guy as a fan of wrestling, but she's just like watching and she's like, he just seems like a really good guy. And I'm like, you know, honestly, anyone who I've ever talked to, and I've been fortunate enough to know a few people in the world of wrestling that have dealt with him on not just on like a media level like we have, but on a personal level. And I saw some of the stuff that they were posting on Facebook and just seems like he touched a lot of people in a positive way. So it's a bummer. 61 years old.
Yeah, it's young.
Young, super young. Same with Dusty Rhodes in his 60s as well. I mean, it's just the toll that this sports entertainment puts on the body and the lifestyle that they lived.
I read something that, I mean, Roddy even said himself in an interview or in like a movie or something that he probably wasn't going to make it to 65.
It's funny you say that. We have that audio right.
What?
How about that? We're one step ahead of you.
Oh, my goodness. So
here's Roddy Piper talking about that.
What would you have me do at 49 when my pension plan I can't take out till I'm 65? I'm not going to make 65. It's just face facts, guys.
He fell asleep, had a cardiac arrest, I guess, in his sleep, and that's how he passed away.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah, that's heavy. Heavy to hear that kind of stuff.
Man
who knew his own like fate, in a sense. I thought it was awesome, Ronda Rousey, I thought it was awesome that she beat the tar out of that chick that wouldn't shut up
in
34 seconds. Did you see all like the stuff leading up to the fight, and now that girl is just jawing at her, trying to get under Rousey's skin, trying to play the psychological warfare?
The weigh-in was hilarious.
Oh, she just looked like a cartoon character.
Don't cry.
And then just Rousey just rocks her in 34 seconds. I'm like, why would you piss off the most dominant fighter in sports right now? Man or woman?
Because nothing else works, man.
And clearly that doesn't either.
Yeah, there's just like, she is just hands down one of the most destructive like fighters, like man or woman that I've watched.
Like, I think she could hold her own against a dude in the weight class. I mean, I don't know if she'd win it, but she would definitely hold her own. And who knows? You know, crazier things have happened. She's a beast out there.
Yeah. And absolutely terrifying.
Yes. And hot as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I love that joke of, oh, yeah, any dude would be saying, I'd probably only last 34 seconds with Ronda Rousey, too.
Did you see the weigh-in with her? Like, it was just hilarious. That's the only thing that I see. I didn't see the fight or nothing.
With the crazy face?
And Rhonda, she, like, comes out fully clothed and then just strips down to her.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Yeah, and I was just like, damn, this is an awesome little view here.
I'm selling pay-per-views.
I may not be the master of my domain.
I know. We'll get into that. But, I'm sure, like, Dana White's like, we need to sell more pay-per-views. And Rhonda's like, I got this covered. Give me some tearaway pants.
Yep.
But her nickname is Rowdy Rousey. Rowdy Ronda Rousey. And she did that at... She's a wrestling person. Like, she showed up at WrestleMania. She's gotten to know Roddy Piper. And she got his blessing to use that nickname, because I mean, everybody knows Rowdy Roddy Piper. So mm-hmm. I thought that was cool and a classy move on her part to get his blessing. And she even dedicated the fight to him, which I thought was awesome, and even gave him some props after the fight. And here's Ronda talking in the ring or in the octagon and showing some love for Hot Rod.
No, not really. It's kind of went how expected, but I just want to say we lost a really close friend, Roddy Piper, who gave me permission to use his name as a fighter, and so I hope him and my dad had a good time watching this today.
Rest in peace, Rowdy Roddy.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Everything about it is pretty cool, and I think one of my buddies was telling me that chick that she fought threw a suicide joke or like some kind of a dig at Rhonda, and Rhonda's dad committed suicide.
Yeah.
Like, why would you go there?
She was trying to totally backpedal and say that she had no idea, but everyone saw through that. So yeah, it's like once you piss off the beast like that,
right?
It's like you can backpedal all you want, but you're just going to get...
Yeah, you just started a fire, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when I heard that, and I only heard that on Friday afternoon when I finally made it into Richmond, B.C., and my buddy J-Mac and I were having lunch, and we're just watching all like the ticker stuff about Ronda Rousey and all that type of stuff, and he mentioned that she did something like that, and I'm like, bro, if we could watch the fight, I want to watch the fight. I want to cheer her on, and hopefully she breaks that chick's arm, if that's what she said. Like, pulls up Misha Tate. And how about Misha Tate's next up again? Like, Misha.
Wow.
Yeah, already lost twice. Well, but
I know, but you know what? She's the only person that's able to give Ronda Rousey a decent fight.
She was the only one that lasted...
Passed a round.
Yeah, passed one. So, I mean...
I think she went to three rounds with Ronda.
That's... That's amazing.
So, I mean, it's like as much as you want to be like, oh, give it up, Misha. But it's like she might be the only hope to get past a minute.
Her last four fights lasted 66 seconds total.
Right.
Total? God.
It's making some bills per minute.
Right. Some people, I bet, aren't very happy to pay for those pay-per-views. But, you know, honestly, as long as it's exciting, I don't care. As long as the rest, you know, you hope that you... If you're paying... It's like Mike Tyson back in the day. If you're paying for her fight, you have to go into it knowing that there's a very good chance that this fight won't last very long.
I got to imagine that's half the reason people are tuning in, to see how long this bitch is going to last. Not
find
Rousa.
Out how long this bitch is going to last. UFC 172.
See, that's a hell of a tagline.
I would watch it.
That's amazing.
We got a lot of stuff coming up on the Mixcast today. Steve Guttenberg is going to be joining us in a few minutes. Nice. That's very exciting. The Goot, the star of Lava Lantula. So that'll be fun to talk to him. I got to see it. Toppy, I don't know if I guess we taped the interview, so we're going to play it in a little bit. Toppy, have you had a chance to watch it?
I tried.
He's out. Gave up on it.
Yeah.
What did you last longer in, the Master of Your Domain contest?
Way longer than that.
I saw the trailer for Lava Lantula, and I kind of want to watch it with these like weirdo looking spiders. They're so gigantic. And,
I think it was fun.
Yeah.
Toppy, did you last longer with Lava Lantula or Sharknado?
Oh, I'll see. I guess Sharknado, because I watched some of the earlier ones. But yeah, I'm not much of a...
You don't like campy films?
You have 5-10 minutes, I'm out. I don't even think I saw a spider.
Oh,
usually,
wow.
I was like, okay.
No. Stick around.
No. Damn, no patience for the bad movies.
I think Sharknado, the first one, was the only one I actually sat all the way through just because of everyone freaking out about it.
Right.
But for sci-fi movies, usually you can watch like the first 15 minutes and the last 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and you at least get the money shot of the monster at the end.
Right.
And you get to see like the first kill. And that's really all you need.
So what you're saying is those kind of films are like a basketball game.
Yes,
you watch
absolutely.
The beginning,
yeah,
and then just tune back in at the end.
Yeah, wait for the half hour of timeouts.
Yeah.
Man, that's why I stopped watching basketball.
It's like Inception.
So
the end of it.
So huge congratulations to Mono Nick. He is the champion of our big Master of Your Domain. So we lasted 2 weeks almost.
I'm still
you
going.
Guys did.
Well, you're still going.
I'm doing it just to
are you gonna
stick
keep it
in there a little bit longer. Well, you know, last night I thought was going to be the end of it, and I got a little bit of help. So
from the wife? Awesome. From the woman?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope it's from the woman. Watch, he goes, no, from the neighbor.
Yeah. He's cute.
Yeah. Strong hands. Well lotioned. So, what almost brought you over the edge yesterday?
Oh, just boredom.
Yeah.
Like, see?
And I didn't have to, there was no end to this journey anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I wanted to at least make it to today to just say, I'm still doing it, guys. I'm still holding on.
2 solid weeks.
Yep.
I thought I had it in the bag, man. I went to Richmond. Everything was good.
I saw the post, man.
Yeah, I posted it. What was on Saturday morning?
Gross.
Something like that.
I think it was Saturday.
Yeah,
it was Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And here's why. I'll tell you why.
Boredom.
Well, no, because it happened earlier in the morning. I could have been sleeping. So I, it's Friday night. We went, myself and the J-Mac, we went to the draft tournament, big hockey tournament. This one, not in Bremerton, was in Richmond, BC, right outside of Vancouver. So we met up after our show on Friday, jumped in the car, hightailed it to Vancouver, trying to beat any kind of crowd, any rush. We get to the border. We thought everything was going to be great. Next thing you know, we're getting pulled over to the side. They have to
what are you smuggling?
Well, because we have 2 giant hockey bags in our back. So I think that they were like...
Anything could be in there.
Right. And I'm like, oh, son of a bitch.
Little people, weed.
Bottle of vodka. Quite possibly some capsules. I don't know.
Quite possibly.
So I'm like, great. This is going to take forever. Thankfully, all they really wanted to do was check our hockey bags and make sure there was hockey gear in those hockey bags. So the guy went...
These dumb Americans don't play hockey.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, you do? Sweet. Go right on in.
Well, then we go into the room, and then we have to talk to another customs guy, and he's asking us. He's like, so what's going on? Like, so where's the rest of your team?
Yeah.
We're like, well, we don't have a team. And we're trying to say it tactfully, but like, finally I got to the point where I'm like, well, we go to a bar, we enjoy some spirits, and then we pick teams there. And then the guy looks at it and goes, so you don't have a team. You just go there, you have some drinks, and... Like, that sounds like fun. Cool. Well, hold on. Give me your keys. I'll go check your cars. Goes check the car. I watch him. He just goes into the back, opens up the hockey bags, closes it, and then checks the other four
doors.
Smells
like it's hockey gear.
Right. Yeah. I was like, good thing he did it on the way there and not on the way back.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
We played five games with no opportunity to dry anything.
No, did you like wear like them from game underwear. To game, or were you able to take off your gear?
No, well, for three straight games on Saturday, we played three straight. Like every other game is our game, so I'm just wearing my gear that whole time.
Sure.
Oh, that's some smelliness.
And then after that, I put it outside to air dry it, but there's no like freshener or anything like that. So we get back in the car. Now we're off. Cool. We get to Richmond, BC. We post up at the bar. We're having a few drinks. We're watching. That's when I found out about Roddy Piper, and that was like,
that
I don't
sucks.
Think J-Mac had no idea. Like I think like that it was like. Hitting me really hard because it's like, this is my all-time favorite. This is my guy. I dressed up as him for Halloween. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, like, I've always been a fan.
Figure.
I have an autographed book. I have the action figure still sitting in my garage that welcomes me every time I come home. You know, like, that kind of stuff. So it was like a bummer, but I'm like, okay, I don't want to be Debbie Downer. So start crushing some drinks and doing some shots. Everything's great. Yeah, we party all night.
Hopefully you don't get so hammered you start bawling.
No, luckily I got so hammered I forgot he died.
Oh, well, I guess that's good too.
Yeah, it worked out well. So we're just, draft party's great. Everybody's drinking. Our buddy Nick, who we've had on here, he tried to do a podcast there.
Oh.
Because he's now doing a podcast called Beer League Talk. And it's actually a really cool podcast.
Fun.
If you're a fan of hockey, if you play recreational hockey, look for it on iTunes. Each episode gets more and more, like, they're getting, you know, you can tell they're building their chemistry. It's him and Brett who came in that one morning.
Oh, yeah.
Both awesome dudes. And now that they're starting to get a little bit away from the nervousness of doing a podcast with a microphone in their mouth and they get more comfortable, their true personality is coming out. And those two guys are funny. I like those guys. So I'm really happy for them. So check out their podcast. And I don't think this is going to make it on the next podcast, but he thought it'd be fun, set up a microphone and record a podcast at the draft party.
Sure, why not?
Well, everybody's just drinking like...
Yeah.
I mean, every time I got a beer, I got a shot as well. Like, it was like that kind of a night.
You were going hard.
Oh, I was gone. Like, gone. So we go into the back outside, like a little back deck to record a podcast. And we tried, like, I think three times. And all three times started off with the best intentions. Like, let's talk about hockey, our favorite experience. Or what's the most embarrassing experience? Whatever it may be. And they've somehow... It ends up going into this conversation about somebody had a crooked dong.
Nice.
I don't know who it was, but... And I was preaching the good word of weed pills.
Okay.
And that was where every attempt at this podcast ended up with just foul language, crooked penis talk, and weed pills. So I don't know if it's
going to... Wow.
I don't know if it's ever going to see the light of day.
Sounds like Canada.
It was a great time. And then I go to the bathroom. I come back and they're like, hey, this girl flashed all of us. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, I missed that.
Damn.
Yeah, I missed out on some of the fun stuff. But so we're wasted. We end up then at one of our buddies' hotel room and we're all BSing, having a good time talking and all that kind of stuff. I will eventually make it back to the reason why I've lost the challenge. So the night continues. We're drinking beers and doing shots in the room. And I'm sitting on one of those like little like long, like love seat type things and you know, has like the leg rest and all that. And just for no reason, I fall off of it. I wasn't doing anything. I just kind of tipped over and fell.
Yeah.
Now I'm laughing uncontrollably, but I'm so wasted that I think I'm going to vomit.
Oh no.
So I force myself up and I go, I gotta go. Goodbye. And I just leave. Well, I left J-Mac in that room who's passed out on a bed, like face down with a beer in his hand.
That's awesome.
So I end up back in our room. The next morning, I realize I must have knocked the mirror closet door off of the...
Geez.
I must have just fell right into it.
Or your destructiveness
he
decided
torpedoed
to...
it.
No, yeah. I remember being destructive. I think I just bounced off the wall when
Goldberg
I walked in.
That bitch.
Yeah. So, I mean, all I had to do was just re-put it back up. It was fine. Not as bad as our friend Sarah. Her wall had a hole in it.
Oh,
I don't know. Because there was no doorstop. It was the hole of the door handle.
Oh, no.
Somebody must kick the door. Like, you know.
Steve, you didn't go in there, did you?
Not me. Not me. I saw it when it was done. I didn't see it before.
Oh, you can't hide that either.
Right. So I go into the room. I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. I pass out, but I wake up early, and he's still nowhere to be found.
I was alone.
Yeah. No one was looking.
And then I'm thinking, I got the room to myself.
I was thinking of you.
Oh, yeah, did I mention?
That's awesome.
Steve was all by himself.
I found some, came across some pretty cool pictures and on phone.
Whoa.
And then luckily, man, I timed it great.
Yahtzee.
Took care of everything. Next thing you know, barreling into the room is Jay.
Geez.
Oh, perfect timing.
Like, where was I? I didn't know where I was when I woke up. Next thing I know, I'm face down on a bed, and I get up to go puke. I go back to the bed, and I realize it's not our room.
So lay back down. It's your bed still.
Yeah, leave me alone.
I got things going on here.
So needless to say, it was a crazy weekend. It was a lot of fun. I lost the challenge. The hockey experience was, again, some of the best times I've ever had. The group of people that were on our team, I only knew one going into it. It was a guy that was on my team the last time. So fortunately, he got to be on my team. Jay didn't get to be on my team.
Oh, no.
Our friend Sarah, that jerk, she drafted him ahead of me.
And
flipped me off as
she
did.
Yeah, that was a hate draft.
That's awesome. Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
I was so pissed.
I love that.
You just did me dirty. She's like, I'm picking Jay. F you.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's great. I love Sarah. She's one of my oldest friends out here. And they had a great time. It didn't matter because we're all hanging out and drinking anyway. Like, it's fun to be on the same team, but man, their team just dominated. Like, they went 4-0 and then wound up losing in the finals in the A level. I was just like, oh, that sucks.
Mariners.
Our team, we wound up becoming the B level champions. So that's like basically first and second place with, like, as far as record. After four games, play each other for the A-level championship.
Oh.
Third and fourth place of the six teams play the B-level championship, and then fifth and sixth place play the C-level. And the funny thing with the C-level, there was a team that did not win at all weekend. They were 0-4. And I was like, oh, that sucks for them. They're not going to get a win. I mean, everyone should enjoy a win while we're at these things.
Yeah, everyone gets a trophy.
Somehow they squeaked out the victory.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And won the final game.
Bad News Bear style.
But here's the thing that was like frustrating for us. Not that we care about the wins and the losses, but like you still want to win. Like you still want to like go as far as you can. Our second game was the game against Sarah and Jay's team. So I'm like, okay, I can't wait. This is going to be good, right? Yeah, of course. You know they won. Here's the problem. Because of Friday night, we all got so bombed. One of the guys on our team who was, if not the second best, I think he was our best player, if not second best. Like, he was right up there. He might not have been our best overall player, but he was definitely our best scorer after the first game. Because our first game, we won 6-1.
I'm Jeez.
Like, we got this, right? We're dominating. Well, then we're getting all ready. I'm like, hey, where's our duder? And one of the people's like, he decided to go back to the hotel and take a nap because he's too hungover.
Oops. Yeah. Boo!
I'm like, we're all hungover.
Yeah!
I had the shakes in the first game.
You got to step up.
I might have crapped my pants before that game, too.
Might have.
I'm not going to confirm or deny it.
You're not going to check the underwear after.
Right, but
you don't need to worry about
rumor
that.
Has it. So I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This guy just bailed on us?
That's rude.
Just bailed on us. So we play that game and get our... We played decently. A couple questionable referee calls. Like one, like a guy sitting on me practically in the crease, and they wrung one off of my head, which, according to the rules, is like you got to blow the whistle.
Ding.
Right. The refs didn't, and then they scored. And I'm like, well, there's two reasons why you should have blew the whistle. Guy in the crease, puck off the dome. Okay, whatever. Next one, I make the save, and it's like not. I don't have full control of it, but they blew the whistle. And after they blew the whistle, the puck fell off of me and went in the net. And the other referee points at it going, goal. I'm like, they already blew the whistle. Goal. So then I get pissed. I slam my stick down. And everyone on my team thinks I'm mad at them. They're all coming up. They're like, hey, bro, we're sorry. I'm like, I'm not mad at you guys. They're like, well, why'd you slam your stick? I'm like, I hate the refs.
I hate them.
I'm like, I'm not going to ever yell at you guys. You guys are awesome. I'm having fun with you guys. I hate these refs. They stink. Twice they screwed us. So we wound up losing
Canada.
That game. I think 7-4. It was just...
Yeek.
Yeah, it was like, if we had our guy,
yeah,
who knows what could have happened. We probably still would have lost, but it would have been a lot closer.
Did he ever make it back to the rink?
I didn't think he was gonna, right? He shows up for the third game.
Yeah, you're benched, pal.
Right, we give him a hard time, but whatever. That game, one guy leaves because he has to go to a wedding.
What?
What
the hell?
Our team...
Double booking?
Here's the funny part. So we had like two or three guys on our team that were Asian, and I bring it up because of this. Two of them, I think, couldn't play the game. So they told their friends to fill in for them. So all of a sudden, we're these two random guys that aren't even on our team, supposed to be on our team, show up in our locker room. They're like, yeah, I'm filling in for Bob. And I'm like, huh? And then the other guy goes, oh, we're Asian. No one's going to know the difference.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So now we're joking. We've got the rotating Asians. Next day as well. Another guy can't play. Another Asian shows up. I don't even know who these guys are. And they're all like just, all right.
That's yeah. so amazing.
Nobody noticed. Nobody called them on it. It was hilarious.
Wow. It's like the killer bees, man.
Anytime I talk to anybody there that's on one of the other teams, I'm like, oh, yeah, we've been rotating Asians. They're like, what? We've been rotating Asians. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, when one can't play, they ask one of their friends to fill in.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Because they're all from, like, I guess, the Vancouver-Richmond area, the ones that were on our team. So
makes sense.
It was fun, man. At the end of the day, like I said, it would have been nice to have had our top player yeah. for that game just to see what would have happened, because it would have been awesome to make it into the finals.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't bail on it, or at least have an Asian to rotate in right. for you.
So at least on right. So at least on Sunday, even though we weren't able to make it into the A-level thing, we made the B1, and then we won that one, and that was a great game. We played a fun team. It was just a lot of fun. It's great camaraderie. It's a fun experience.
You're getting addicted to these, man.
I might have already registered for Phoenix in November.
Oh, my Whoa. Gosh.
Dude, that's like, what, 3 months away?
I might not have told my wife yet.
Oh.
I can hold off.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
No, it's early November.
Okay.
I'm thankful for hockey.
That's awesome.
I gotta do it, man.
I totally get it.
I can't help it.
I'm addicted to disc golf tournaments, so right. I totally get where you're coming from. And the weekends away are the best.
Right, and you know what? If my wife wants to come, she can come. It's just, do you want to put up with smelly hockey gear?
Yeah.
And she just might be like, I'm
And me
cool.
coming in the hotel room at 2 in the morning, slamming into a door.
Right.
And the mirror falling off.
And J-Mac might come in as well, because he's still going to crash with us. I mean, it's just part of what we do.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's all the reasons why you shouldn't, but you can totally come along.
But you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
I know one of the guys, his wife walks into our locker room with a can of Febreze and just sprays all of his gear, and she's about to spray mine. I'm like, no, don't spray mine. I don't want to deal with that. And she's like, but your stuff smells. I'm like, I know, and I'm fine with that.
It's like intimidation.
Yeah, I just don't Yuck. Want that, like, Febreze smell.
It gets nasty once it dries out.
Yeah. But the Phoenix one is looks awesome, because I think it's in Scottsdale or Glendale. I can't remember which one. But
Adale.
It's somewhere in Phoenix or in Arizona, actually.
It's inside of Adale.
But included or for an extra couple of bucks, like $30, you get a ticket to a Phoenix Coyotes game or Arizona Coyotes game.
Hell
so
yeah.
Neat.
On that Saturday night. So Friday night you do the draft tournament. Saturday night you go out, you go to the hockey game, which will be a lot of fun, mm-hmm. and then party after that. This time around, though, if Jay and I were talking, because he wants to do it as well, I'm going to talk to BJ about trying to get that Monday off.
Dude, you're going to need it.
I want to fly. I want to come back on Monday.
Yeah.
That way, because it sucked after that tournament. We're all done, and everybody's hanging out in the beer garden. They're all planning on getting sushi. And I love the guys like Nick and Brett, KP and Roman and Arnie and the rest of the crew that works for the draft tournament have quickly become like not just like, they're not just like guys that run this tournament. They're friends with everybody. It's like they've created like a cult family. It's really awesome how they pulled this off. And I think it wouldn't work. This tournament concept wouldn't work if it was like a smart businessman that sets it up but doesn't come, or maybe just oversees it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're knee deep in it with us, drinking with us, partying till 4 a.m. with us, that's what makes it awesome. And they've truly become great friends through this. I mean, it's amazing how quickly you bond with people when you're playing 5 hockey games in 2 days. Like
yeah,
you spend a lot of time with each other and you get to know each other pretty well. One quick story, and then we'll move on to Steve Guttenberg, because he's holding patiently on the line, which is very nice
to our hockey talk.
Right. This is a great example. I kind of shared it on the MegaCast and a little bit on BJ and Migs as well, but it's one of my favorite moments. So on that Saturday night, we're leaving the bar. We're all wasted, right? And I told you guys about the parking lot party that we had, which was a lot of fun. But my favorite moment of the whole weekend, and it was, I wish someone was filming it, but I'm almost glad that no one was, because we were all just fully immersed in that moment, which is rare. That even we joked about it after the fact that nobody recorded this, because it was so ridiculous. We're walking out of the bar. I'm wasted. I got my arm around this guy, KP, who works there, but he was on our team. Coolest guy in the world. Like, so much fun to hang out with. And I'm like, effing draft tournament, man. And he's like, and he goes, Steve, Migs, you're making it in this world today. All right. Some along those lines. Mm-hmm. And it's like the first line of the Cheers theme song.
Oh.
So I look at him and I'm like, and it takes everything you got. That's, and then he says the next line. And then I say it, and a couple other people pick up, like, sure, it would help a lot. And then next thing you know, there's 20 to maybe 25 of us going, wouldn't you like to get away?
Wow.
And then all of us, top of our lungs, outside of the hotel at 2 in the morning, sometimes you gotta go, and we're all holding each other.
Oh my gosh, hands across America.
Oh, dude, it was so awesome. And then the next verse, none of us know, so we're like, so awesome.
Like, that since is, the that's weekend, bonding.
I can't get the damn Cheers theme song out of my head, though.
I think he just got stuck in mine.
Yeah. It's the greatest song, man. It's perfect for that situation. It just happened so, as the kids say, organically. But, like, just him and I, because we couldn't remember the next day, we're like, well, how did that even start? Like, how did we even break into an a cappella version of the Cheers theme song?
Yeah.
And then finally, like, after the first game, we were in the locker room, and KP looks at me and goes, I remember now. I said the first line to you, and then you sang it back to me. I said the next line, and then more
just
people.
Win.
And it just kind of spiraled after that. But, yeah, I met a fine Titanic douche. Oh, man, his name. Let me make sure I get it. I believe it was Mark.
Jill.
I don't want to.
Yeah. Claude.
Oh, man.
Claude.
See if I can find
yes.
it.
Just everyone that we don't know is just named Claude.
Right.
Well, something French-Canadian.
Well, they're in Vancouver. That's not.
Still, they got more French-Canadian than we do.
Probably, yes, you're right. Jeez.
Mark. His name's Mark. Mark, Titanic douche. Heard us talk about the draft tournament with Nick. He couldn't go to the Bremerton one, so he signed up for the Vancouver one. And I don't think I ever mentioned to him that I wound up, because originally I told him, oh, man, I'm bummed I can't go. But I went, so cool to hang out with him at the draft party. He was pretty geeked out about all of it.
I bet.
And how about he's on the team with the Team Burnaby, because they were named after different little like cities that are near Vancouver and in British Columbia. So we were Team Coquitlam, jokingly
Excuse
called
me?
Ourselves the Quitters,
yeah.
which unfortunately rang true when one of our guys decided to quit on us. His team won the whole thing, though. They That's were the awesome. A-level champions.
Nice.
So that was pretty awesome to
Hell
see
yeah.
him walk out. Like, a lot of us were waiting as they were all walking out of off the ice because a few of us had some beers and waters and we were going to spray it all over Nick because
mm-hmm.
he was on that team as well.
Oh,
and this
fun.
Is his first time he won the A-level championship.
Oh, nice.
All the time. Right.
How long has he been doing this?
Well, I think they've done like 15 or 16 of these.
Oh, man. So that's it's actually
however
pretty
long
epic.
He's done.
Yeah,
yeah,
monumental for him.
Apparently, it's been the curse, like the curse of Nick. Like,
yeah.
you don't win the championship if you have Nick on your team or the A-level one. So we're waiting to spray it. So I see Marcus. He's walking up. He's got a big poop-eating grin, too. Like, he's just like, hell yeah. I'm like, giving a high five. I'm like, hell yeah. I'm happy for you, brother. And then Nick comes out. And we just all douse them. I filmed it in slow motion. I'll show you guys at some point.
That's cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah. That, and I was all geeked out about like filming a whole bunch of stuff. I was going to put together like a cool video of my experience there.
Mm-hmm.
I got too wasted to do any of that. The only thing I got video of is myself and J-Mac taking advantage of the water slide that was at our hotel.
I did see that.
Oh my.
On social media.
Big tube, 250 foot long water slide.
Oh wow.
I originally thought when I read that it was 250 feet high
yeah.
and I was so excited. I'm like, this is gonna be awesome. And we get there and it's like maybe 40 feet high and I'm like, what is this? Then I realized, oh, it's the length
of
it.
Did they have a lifeguard?
No.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Oh, it's fine. Jay tried a couple tricky moves, like yeah. jumping into it on his knees.
Sure.
And I could hear him as he's going down the tube.
Thunk.
Don't do that. Don't try that.
Anybody go down backwards?
He did.
Yeah, that'd
yeah.
be fun.
I did it.
Don't try that one either.
I only like propel myself in it quickly, but feet first every time.
Okay.
I wasn't
Safety
risking
first.
It. I'm
yeah.
too much of a mess. I'm so glad one of our guys on our team, Chris, because my ankle was shot by like the third game. Mm-hmm. I had like just a bruise on my bone on like that bone thing
wow.
from trying to break in skates.
Oh,
so
gosh, yeah.
If you keep... After a while, it's like
it's
unbearably hard to
yeah.
walk, but it's not like anything that's going to any permanent damage, but it's like, oh, this sucks. One of the guys on our team goes, I got some icy hot. And I'm like, cool. And he shows it to me. I'm like, what kind of icy hot is that? He's like, it's actually a type of icy hot that's meant for horses. So use it sparingly. Damn, did that stuff work?
That's why
it
people
felt like
use horse
ready to run the Kentucky
man.
Derby.
It felt like somebody just took my ankle and just set it on fire. Like it
oh.
was, it was the hottest of hot.
Damn!
Don't put that one on your boys.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. by the end of it, I think everyone on our team was like lathering ourselves all over.
End up like a baked chicken.
Yeah. Don't put it on the boys.
It was fun.
Stay away from that.
All right, why don't we do this? Let's talk to Steve Guttenberg. I'm very excited. I can't believe, what was it, like a year ago we started like joking about the whole Goot thing. And how it was a mission to get him on the Migscast.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the logo or something.
Yeah, that's right. Our buddy Chris did make that logo with the Guttenberg, Steve's face on it, and it says the Goot.
Yeah.
One of these days, we might have to put those into actual production.
I agree.
So without further ado, hello, Steve.
Good morning, man. How are you?
I am doing great. It is an honor again to talk to you. I've been a fan forever, and I just watched Lavalantula over the weekend, so I'm even more excited to talk to you. This is a good day.
Oh, fantastic, man. We got great news. Sci-Fi Channel, they've asked and decided to do a sequel, and we are thrilled. It's so terrific when a big company makes a decision so quickly.
Damn.
And so decisively on a movie that worked, because Lavalantula, it's a fun romp and made everybody laugh and got everybody scared, and it really delivered. So I'm thrilled.
For those that haven't seen it, I know I can explain it, but I figure who better to explain it than Steve Guttenberg himself. What are you telling people? What is Lavalantula about?
Well, you know, Lavalantula is a giant spider movie. And, you know, in the vein of Ant-Man and Thor and Iron Man and Captain America and Wrath of the Titans, it's a creature feature. And those are really fun today, you know. The story really is about Los Angeles. There's an actor who's got a family, and he just got fired from his job. On his way home to take his kid to the baseball game, and all of a sudden, a giant volcano erupts in the Santa Monica Mountains, which is actually a true story. I don't know if you've read about it. And these giant spiders jumped out of the volcano, spewing lava, and they were wreaking havoc on Los Angeles. I'm sure you read about it about 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was on the Daily Beast and a big story about this.
Yes, really big, really big story. And this actor, he was an action hero, and he actually uses action hero skills to destroy all the spiders and save Los Angeles. And there you have Lavalantula.
It's funny because, like, when I was watching, my wife comes home and she's like, "What are you watching?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm watching Lavalantula." She's like, "Okay, what's that about?" I'm like, "Well, it's a volcano and spiders." And she's like, "Those are two of the things that scare the living crap out of me." And she would not watch it with me because she was so scared. And finally, she sat down. She's like, "Oh, this is actually a lot of fun." But at first, she's like, "I can't deal with spiders and volcano eruptions."
Well, those are two things you just don't want happening during the day. That's for sure.
No, I recently read.
Really, that you got it right on the head. You nailed it. It's fun, and
yeah.
You know, that's what's great about summer movies. You know, you want them to be a lot of fun, and we got really lucky on this one.
And I mean, not a bad show to align with, and a great cameo from Ian Ziering, you know, the Sharknado franchise. And I heard that you turned down the starring role to be the Ian Ziering character in Sharknado.
Well, you know, I did get offered it, but, you know, Ian Ziering did an amazing job in it. And, you know, there are jobs that Ian get offered and he turns down and I take. So, you know, it's nothing other than, you know, that's the life of an actor. You know, you never know when a job's going to come up that's right. When I read Sharknado, I thought, oh, gee, I don't know if this is going to work. And lo and behold, I was pretty wrong. So I'm thrilled for Ian and the whole gang that's doing that movie.
Is there any other situation where it doesn't have to be a film where you look back on something and like, I can't believe I turned that down. I should have taken that opportunity.
Yeah, Gisele Bündchen.
No doubt.
You too?
Right.
Me too. I just thought, she's too tall and kind of, you know, big nose. And,
plus, I mean,
what the hell she's saying.
She's probably going to make you want to destroy your cell phone at some point.
Oh.
You
know. Really? Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I've been pretty lucky. I mean, most of the decisions I've been in have made have been pretty good. And, you know, Lavalantula, I think, is one of those decisions that they came to me with a really funny script and a good director and a good channel, a good network. So I just jumped on board, and I was really thrilled.
Plus a great opportunity for you to reconnect with a couple of buddies from Police Academy. You had Leslie and also Michael Winslow in the film. There's a part during Lavalantula where towards the end, you guys are in a car and Michael's doing what Michael does with, you know, his voice sounds. And there just seems to be a genuine, like, glow on your face that you're in a scene with him doing those sounds again. Was that, is that true? Like, was that a cool feeling to be doing something again with the old crew?
Yeah, I'm so glad you saw that because, you know, I think the world of Michael, and I think he's so talented and he's got such a big heart. And when he just started going off, I just felt so lucky to be next to him because he's such a talent. His talent is really from God. So to be sitting in the car next to him while he's going off and doing something, which, you know, practically nobody on the planet can really do like he does, I just felt lucky, and I just smiled because I actually started cracking up. And that's what it was. I started breaking the fourth wall and, you know, coming out of character and just laughing. And I was talking to the executive on the project who created Sharknado and created Lavalantula. His name is Chris Regina at Sci-Fi, and he said to me, "Hey man, we were looking at that take and we saw that you were just breaking up, and we wanted to use that one." And I said, "Oh, that's great."
Now, as a Police Academy fan, that is my favorite part of the entire film. I enjoyed the whole film, Lavalantula, but as a fan of Police Academy, I just recently watched it over there a couple of weeks ago just to see if it still held up. And man, it's still such a great film, a great franchise. And that moment during Lavalantula, I was like, "Oh, hell yeah. I would be doing the exact same thing if I was in that car with Michael Winslow."
You would, you know, you just start cracking up. He's so good-natured, too, you know.
Yeah.
When you're around a guy who's got such a good heart and is so talented, I just felt blessed, man. And I always just crack it up because he's so funny.
Well, I know we got to let you go, but again, Lavalantula, Steve, a true pleasure getting to speak to you. I've been a fan forever, and it's always been one of my goals to get to have an opportunity to chat with you. So I'm pretty pumped today.
Wow, that is just blows my mind. Thanks, man. Thanks so much. Makes me feel so good.
Right on, brother. Have a good one.
You too. All the best.
Take care. That was awesome.
Oh, man, that was cool.
Sounds like he hasn't aged a day.
No.
You just, like, you hear his voice in there, and I didn't believe that I would get goosebumps talking right? to Steve Guttenberg, and yeah, here I am. I've got goosebumps.
Dude, there's that scene in Toppy. I've been telling you to watch it, and you guys as well. Watch Lavalantula. It's campy and fun. It's true. I liked it a lot more than Sharknado 3, but, I mean, there is that part with him and Winslow, and I'm glad that he admitted to it. Like, I didn't know how to approach it. I didn't want to be like, "Bro, you totally busted character. You could tell you're cracking up." But there was, like, a genuine, like, "This is so much fun. I'm here with Michael Winslow doing what Michael Winslow does again." It was awesome.
That is so cool.
And I wanted to talk to him. There's one last thing. It's just a cool life lesson. I know, like, on the Migs cast, we like to throw, like, little life lessons from time to time. It's in his bio, and I thought this was such a cool piece. When he was first deciding that he wanted to become an actor, some agent that was a friend of the family told him, "Hey, forget being an actor. You don't have the look. You don't have the talent. Your name is ridiculous. You're the last guy that I would ever pick to be a movie star."
Damn!
Right? I was like, damn. But, I mean, I remember that.
There's
one.
A lot of truth in those lines, really. I mean,
right.
On average, he's average-looking guy with a weird name.
And you look back on it.
He is funny.
He's charming, and I think that's the way that, by being a good person and being charming, he's... And even in his book, he said something, I think there's like the 5 stages of an actor, and I'm probably going to forget a few, but it's, who is Steve Guttenberg?
Oral stage, anal stage.
Hey.
Well, his are a little different.
Oh, that's growing up, sorry.
He goes, "Who is Steve Guttenberg?" was like the very first stage, and then it's, "Tell me more about, like, Steve Guttenberg. We need Steve Guttenberg." "We need somebody who's like Steve Guttenberg."
Right.
To "Who is Steve Guttenberg?"
That's great.
Like, it's like, you know, your career will go full circle. You'll be on top of the world.
Yeah.
You'll be at the bottom, and it's just about enjoying the ride while you're there. But yeah, Lavalantula, I'm sure they're going to be re-airing it a million times.
So. Oh, yeah. It's sci-fi. They love to do that, especially if something like this is this much fun.
Yeah.
People definitely need to be doing
it. And
that.
Obviously, they respect it because they're immediately going to make another one.
That's right. We need to, who is Steve Guttenberg? We need him again.
Wow.
Right on. That was fun.
Ooh, we're going to barbecue tonight. I'm excited.
Ooh.
Fake sausages.
I was going to say tofu patties.
The falsages.
Yeah.
Hey, kids. What do you want to do today?
Nice.
I want to go home.
That's right. Let's listen to the messages with Steve Migs. Yay.
Go, mommy.
Steve Migs, he's the star. Wonder what Tommy's favorite candy bar is. Migs high on something. And The Rev's got a butt like a pumpkin.
Boo.
Yay! Wasn't that fun? We've learned stuff.
What did we learn?
Message stuff. Time.
I love that.
Before we get to it, because you mentioned the stones, we got to give props to the crew over at Rainier on Pine.
Yeah.
Pish. Oh, man, Donnie and the whole crew over there.
No doubt.
Whoa.
I've been out of my mind the last week.
Yeah? Have you been sampling some of the fine goods that you purchased there?
Yeah.
What's been your favorite?
I really like the Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. That's a strong strain, man.
Yeah. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the highest amount of THC that I've seen in one, but man, that hits.
It's effective.
And those pens, dude. I don't know what the hell is going on with those pens. Those are ridiculous.
Oh, they're insane. Like, seriously, one hit.
And you're done.
You're done.
I tried the liquid dropper.
Yeah?
Yeah, the tincture.
Have you ever tried a liquid dropper?
I think so.
Yes, you have.
Okay. I know people that you know that have.
That stuff. I think I did a half of a
vial dropper thing. Yeah.
And on the couch and just like holding on for the ride.
Yeah. Like my favorite thing was to take a couple hits off the pen and then a hit off of the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just spinning on my bed.
You couldn't do... Like, we got back from going there on that Tuesday. I went home. And I think just like two hits off of the pen, and then I just laid on my bed, closed my eyes, and opened them, and it was an hour later.
Oh, wow.
That's what happened to me. Angie came home from work, and I was supposed to be dressed and ready to go to a friend's house for dinner.
Nope.
And I'm like, yeah, sorry, hold on, give me a couple minutes.
We got to make a trip back there so we can bring Top Shelf so he can experience it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
This is your kind of place. Yeah.
Did you guys bring me anything?
No.
I didn't think so.
Actually, I did. I just keep forgetting to bring it in. I got you something, Toppy.
Nice.
You don't worry about that.
I even got
rhyme with schmuck der schmoo.
I got some of the hard candies, too.
It's a strain,
too.
I guess. I don't know.
The little chocolate hard candies. Yeah. I wasn't too sold on them. I was like, oh, I'll pick them up and see how they are. Those things are pretty solid. They're pretty awesome. It feels weird sucking on a candy that's going to get you stoned.
Right.
But it was fine. There's only a little bit of a weed taste, so most of the time you're getting chocolate.
I haven't even touched mine yet.
Yeah, I've barely touched anything. I mean, the capsules, though. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up?
Two thumbs up. The capsules are fantastic.
Way up.
Might have made the mistake in Richmond.
Of some places.
Of enjoying two of them in one night.
Oh, wow.
Because I was so wasted. I'm like, I took one.
And you were boozing too?
I'm like, I'm too drunk. I probably won't work. So I took another one.
Oh, my God.
It's like stacking ecstasy.
I don't think.
Getting crunk up in that biz.
I'm not lying to you guys. Like, on Saturday night when I did that, right? I don't think it kicked in until Sunday morning, and I played the first game. I looked at Jay, and even though he wasn't playing, he was watching. I'm like, I can't do this. Like this is, I'm still drunk, or these weed pills are now kicking in.
Yes,
I am about to play a game.
Wow.
Oh, dude, I wound up playing a really good game.
Because
I was super focused.
Panicked.
On everything.
Yeah, you're like, I got to keep it together.
Right. Like, I think I just gave up like two goals in that game. And it was
a sativa then.
Yeah. Oh, it was total sativa. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get any of that indica couch stuff.
That stuff is, it's good, awesome. But it puts you out, man.
Yeah, see, I could put myself out easily without it.
Yeah. Crank.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm out.
Especially now that I'm out of the contest.
Yeah.
So now we gotta take Mono Nick to lunch.
Well, that's fine. We're going to Chicago.
Oh,
get you
we'll
some Chick-fil-A.
Perfect.
Boom.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Don't worry about buying Chick-fil-A this
weekend.
Do
you guys be up for going to that wrestling bar again?
Oh, yeah. Squared Circle?
Yeah, maybe.
Absolutely.
Like a few other radio people are like wanting to go with us.
Oh, that was so cool.
That was so 2 years ago, though.
Right.
Oh, that's true. We didn't even go last year.
Right. We were just so far ahead of the curve. Toppy, what do you want us to do here?
Let's do texts.
Text messages. All right.
Let's get text you.
First one. Dude, man, bro. Thank you for sending me a MIGS Cast bracelet and four 4 of the Men's Room Original Red Drink Coasters. Thank you, man. You're blanking awesome and stuff. Thank you from your loyal listener stuck in the eastern half of Nebraska.
Ooh.
Better known to those who listen to the Men's Room as Dan the Handicapped Man.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he shot us, he put a posting on the MixCast Facebook group, and that's just MixCast on Facebook, asking if somebody could grab a coaster from the original Red Party. Well, I didn't want to say, yeah, I'll grab one, and then get there, and they're gone.
Yeah.
So when I got there, I grabbed a few and just put them in my pocket and then just mailed them off to him. And
awesome.
He got one of the very last MixCast bracelets. I don't have any more. So
hashtag none for Caesar.
Yeah, none for anybody anymore. So
hashtag
don't ask.
Stop asking.
I was thinking about making more. But then I'm looking at my finances, and I've got a certain hockey tournament coming up, from what I hear. So I can't afford it right now.
Sorry, China's going to have to wait for their
They will!
Bucks.
Next text, and you
fail.
Can... 253-271-4787 is the number to leave a text message or a voicemail. What's up, MixCast? So I got really high and watched Sharknado 3 and Lavalantula back-to-back. It was awesomely horrible. Toppy.
Wow, that's a lot of time, man.
That's
like 3 hours.
Let's not forget the first line. So I got really high.
Yeah.
If you like B-movies, give it a look. I also caught up on Raw and SmackDown. I'm disappointed I won't be joining you and Ted. The Divas are looking great since the influx of new talent. Speaking of Divas, I'm officially out of the challenge. Thank you, Sasha Banks. Yarg. Oh, Brock Lesnar scream is what he was doing right there.
No, Brock.
Oh, it's from our buddy Uche.
Oh, hey, Uche.
Dude, Sasha Banks is hands down the best diva in the WWE right now.
Now, like, there is just looks-wise? Are we both talking, like, just total package?
Yeah, I mean, there might be hotter. She's hot. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, she's a diva.
But, you know, there's all different types of hot. I personally she's the hottest in my eyes. But as far as in-ring action, I was telling somebody this, and I thought they were going to look at me like I was crazy because they're another like super wrestling fan, and they actually agreed with me. I go, not only is she my favorite diva, that's a given, but she's quickly becoming one of my favorite superstars in the WWE, man or woman. Like, she's that entertaining to watch in the ring.
Really?
So I'm excited to see her.
So we're actually going to get some wrestling in the Divas?
Dude, it's getting so much better.
I like it. I'm hoping that because of what Ronda Rousey's doing for UFC, that's going to make WWE step up their game and like get not just eye candy, but athletic chicks who are like out there putting on a show that's, you know, that's good for wrestling fans.
And you know what? The Bellas are stepping it up. They've gotten a lot better in the ring. It probably helps that, you know, that both of them are connected to, in a physical way and also a spiritual way, to WWE superstars John Cena and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, right.
Charlotte Flair, Ric Flair's daughter, is now, she's made her way into the WWE. She was part of the NXT. She's phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah, she does a move called the figure eight because it's better than the figure four.
Oh, jeez.
It's the figure four, and she, like, yoga pulls her, like, she, like, stretches her body up and the legs up, and it's good. Becky Lynch, Rev, will be your new favorite diva.
Becky Lynch. Is she all gothy or something?
No, she's steampunky.
What?
Yeah.
What? Oh, hold on. You got to look at some stuff on there. Becky Lynch.
I don't know if it's like...
Oh, yeah. She's got the goggles. Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Someone was talking about, for all you magic nerds out there, that she looked like Chandra.
And she's got a hot red hair thing going.
Yeah, in the goggles.
She's English, I think.
Oh, wow. I think I may have just lost again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've been losing quite a bit. Yeah. So I'm pretty pumped about all of that. Sasha Banks, good on you, Uche. That's a good pick.
Wow.
You know what's funny? We bring up Brock Lesnar right there. There's this article that's going around. I don't know if you've seen it, Rev.
No, I try not to pay attention to anything, Brock.
Back when he first started in the WWE, there were talks behind the scenes, like when they were creating who is this guy going to be when he comes into the WWE. They originally were planning or considering making him be this ass kicker that eventually comes out of the closet and he's an openly gay ass kicking wrestler. The idea was, according to the writers that came up with this idea, that they wanted to help like break the stereotypes of him being like femmy or flamboyant.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's going to be like, yeah, I'm gay and I'm going to kill you, like, kind of thing.
Wow.
That would have been kind of cool.
Here's the crazy part. So I'm reading this article, and then they go, well, it was the idea came up by one of their WWE magazine writers, Brian Solomon. I'm like, that's a kid I went to high school with.
Wait, what?
One of my friends from high school was a fellow wrestling fan. I knew that he worked for the WWE for a brief period of time, and he worked in the WWE magazine part. And he just wrote a great book for wrestling fans. I can't remember. It's like the Encyclopedia of Wrestling or something like that. But yeah, like it was him. He quite possibly could have, I mean, for all we know, killed Brock Lesnar's career. Like, we think it's a cool idea, but I'm sure some people would not have done it. And is there any turning back from that?
And and at that point, I can't see Brock ever being like that. He's just a dumb meathead anyway.
But that was, I think, that was the humor of it, or not the humor, but that was kind of be like the, you know, this crazy yin and yang thing. Like, he's this meathead ass kicker, but he's also openly gay.
Yeah. See, that would have been fun.
Would have been interesting.
Yeah, I just hate Brock. So, I mean, I can't see any positive light for him doing anything.
Had he not downplayed your question when we interviewed him, you'd still love the guy.
I hate that giant penis sword tattooed weirdo.
Hey, everyone. I was the first douche to fail at the Migscast Challenge, the master of my domain. In my defense, I get up at 3 in the morning, and I was having a hell of a time getting to sleep that night. I did what I did without even thinking. After my moment of happiness, I was overcome with sorrow and horror as I realized I just lost. But I would do it again if I had to. Anyway, I just wanted to tell my side of the story.
Oh, that's just the biology doing that to you, man.
So that Caesar doesn't think I'm a weak-ass douche. Stay positive, douches.
Well, with mine, man, it's like mine was, I think, that almost not the next day, but the day after. So I think 2 days that I made it, but I waited till the next morning. I was bored, man. Right. And you're just, there's nothing going on.
And it's amazing how I think all of us, that's the number one reason why we take care of ourselves, is boredom. It's nothing.
And it might sound weird to people, but I mean, it's just, it kills a little time.
No, it might sound weird to girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Not dudes.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe, you know, remember when I mentioned that, we mentioned that to BJ, and he didn't understand that.
Yeah, well,
which I thought was crazy. I'm like, how do you not understand that?
I think he's more girl most of the time anyway.
Well, he'd admit it, yeah. He'd be the first to admit it.
Yeah, so
he
speaks
chick.
Apparently.
He thinks chick, too.
Yeah, he does.
Not us. We think chick, and then we become masters of our domain.
Yeah.
All right, one more text, and then we'll move on, because I know we got to wrap things up pretty soon. Seinfeld versus Radiohead. Have you heard it? And they sent me a link. I haven't heard it.
Don't even know what you're talking about.
Apparently, somebody matched a Seinfeld theme with Radiohead's My Iron Lung, I believe.
Great song.
So we're
just
hearing bloop, 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 bloop. Well, this is back when they still played their instruments.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
okay.
Off the bends.
Yeah. So let's see how this
goes. They still play your instruments.
Oh, you know what I mean.
I know.
That's Seinfeld. This song is great because of the music that he's singing over. Like, he
that
sounds super whiny right now.
Yeah.
Let's see how the chorus goes. Oh, that's it, huh?
Yeah.
Somebody has a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah.
And clearly they were probably in the middle of their Master of Their Domain challenge.
See, if they did that with, like, Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up, just like him singing it, and it was the Seinfeld things.
Why don't you work on that? Next time you think about taking care of yourself, do that instead.
But I could just take care of myself.
I can't really argue with you on that. Yeah. That is all of our text messages.
Oh, yeah. It got serious. Steve is the master with the ghetto blaster. He's gonna rhyme because he's fresh. He does it all the time. So we sit and we crave for what you all gave. With your words and with your voice that you all send by your choice. And sometimes I rap with what don't fit. And it's time for messages. So let's knock it out on Lickety Split, dogs. Steve Miggs messages, fresh from the hood.
I love that.
Paula.
I just love, oh crap, it keeps going. Just love all the crappy beatboxing. It's amazing.
Rev, what do you want us to do?
Emails.
Emails. All right, from Shane, we got a few emails. We'll try and get to as many as we can. Something super awesome happened. What's up, douches?
What's up?
I have some good news, and it's indirectly Miggs is doing.
Uh-oh.
Haven't been a listener for a while. It's good to hear the change that Steve made, rebranding himself, and all the amazing stories of other people changing things in their life to make it better. So I thought, why can't that be me? It's like Russell Wilson. Why not us?
Mm-hmm.
I've been a hobby photographer for a long time, and I've always wanted to do concert photography, but I had no experience in that aspect of the business. Then as soon as I made up my mind to pursue that course, Mary and I met a super cool band called Hidden History, and we hit it off. They asked me to photograph their album release show in June. I did it, and they all liked the photographs. Then I get a message from the band manager asking me to photograph their show on August 7th at the Warped Tour in Portland. Beyond excited, nervous at the same time, this is going to be awesome. So Migs, Toppy, Rev, Mono Nick, thanks for keeping me laughing at work and indirectly giving me the kick in the butt that I needed to take my photography to the next level. Okay, this turned into a book. Douches, keep it weird.
That's really cool.
That is cool.
Super cool. Next one. Oh, man. I don't know if we have time to listen to the Disturbed song. It's about weed.
Okay.
Do we want to listen to a little bit of it?
It's about weed.
All right. Mono Nick will love the subject matter. New Disturbed song, and it's topical.
Like a spray kind of thing?
Oh, look at him.
That's a good hit.
Exhale.
Thanks, BJ.
I'm not afraid of a good time.
You guys, your mic's still on.
It's pretty aggressive for a weed song.
Yeah. Maybe the guitarist and drummer did some coke.
Here you go. All I need is a little bit of illumination so the rhythm can no longer run and hide. Will I take a puff from the leaves of the devil?
Awesome.
Yeah. I was thinking about Seinfeld again.
Serenity now. Our next email, this one comes from Joel, and he says, you guys should call Donald Trump and have him on the Migscast.
Oh, perfect. He'll
Let's do that. He'll totally get in, going on an interview.
Well, he also forwarded us Donald Trump's phone number.
Oh, perfect.
Apparently, Gawker just released Donald Trump's phone number.
Oh, was this in response to him doing it to
Lindsey Graham?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So do we dare?
No. Why not?
All right, Toppy. Here's the number.
All right, over under on this one.
On Toppy getting through or Donald answering?
Yeah.
I'm going zero for all.
Yeah. When was the number released?
Today.
Oh, today. Okay.
I think. Or last night.
It's got to be changed by now or off.
What if he actually answers?
Yeah.
Is that user error or is that Donald's error?
I don't know.
Try again, Toppy. Wouldn't that be awesome if he answers? If he answers, how should we... Well, I don't want to give Donald a hard time.
No, be like... So how do you feel about having it?
Yeah. Hey, what kind of weird phone calls have you had today?
This one.
This might be a Donald error now.
Yeah, that just sounds
third
like
time's it. A charm.
Poor Toppy. Let me see if Donald Trump has tweeted about this.
F you guys. That's not my number anymore. And he had to have changed it by now. Yeah. All right. Screw it, Toppy.
Yeah.
Failure. Screw you, Joel, for giving us a bum number. Kidding. Next one comes from Kenny. Speaking of hockey, longtime hockey fan. After many years of listening to the podcast, hearing your stories of the classic and now the draft tournament, I really need to start playing hockey. I'm 27, haven't skated since I was 15. Since I've never really played hockey, and I was hoping you can offer some advice on where to begin. I've been looking into adult beginner classes in my area, but they're very expensive. Some are 8-class courses, and they're $1,600, and I have to provide full gear. Are there any local hockey shops in the Linwood Everett area that you recommend for getting the right gear? Keep up the great work, and any information would be appreciated. Kenny, in the Linwood Everett area, your best bet would be play it against sports and buy some used gear. That way, if you're not 100% sold, it's not the end of the world that you spend a couple $100.
And you, I mean, you buy a lot of your stuff online, don't you?
I do. Yeah, once you kind of get an idea of what your sizes are, then you can find good clearance sales. And I mean, but if you're just starting, you could probably get a decent pair of skates for like $50 or $60 that will do the job for, you know, the first couple of years or something like that. Stick is probably going to be your most expensive thing, but get a wood stick, like a cheap one. $30-$40. And then, you know, helmet, that could be about $50. And anything else, you could probably find used there. Sometimes the Everett Silvertip sell their gear to play it against sports, and then they in turn sell them to the people.
Oh, that's a sweet deal.
Yeah, there's ways to get around spending. I mean, because it's an expensive sport. It's an expensive hobby.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to drop a few $100 just to go to Phoenix. I mean, but it's a passion, and I love it, and it's the most rewarding thing I've ever been a part of, and it brought me some of the best memories I've ever experienced. So, yeah, you're going to spend a few extra dollars, but I think the investment is worth it because you're going to have a whole new circle of friends, a whole new outlook on certain things. It's just a fun way to keep active and do something outside of the usual grind that is work and sitting at home. As far as learning how to play, if you know how to skate, you're one step ahead of most people.
A step ahead of you when you started.
Yes, absolutely. But you know what? If you don't know how to skate, put on some skates and go out there. It's not as hard as people think to glide on ice. Everything else is very difficult, but you're not going to walk on the ice rink with skates on and just topple over. You'll be able to balance yourself out. It's then after that, that's what gets difficult, but you take it slowly. Go to some stick and pucks, that's what they call them. Different rinks have them. Just call the rink up or go on their website. A stick and puck basically means that you can go on the ice full gear, shoot around. It's not a scrimmage. No one's playing hockey against each other. Everybody's out there trying to learn. So you can either work with somebody or you just shoot around. And a lot of times the guys that are really good out there that are giving lessons or doing whatever, they'll probably pull you aside and tell you what you're doing wrong. And they'll help you. Hockey's a pretty... That's what I love about the sport.
It seems pretty welcoming. Like, everyone's pretty stoked just to see other people out there.
Dude, we had a guy on our team that just started. He did, like, the Learn to Play program that the draft tournament guys do in Canada. They have the NCHL, their No Contact Hockey League. They put on a program where they teach you for, like, 13 weeks, and then you get to join a team.
Fun.
This guy did the program and then did the draft tournament. So he is as new gets, but can skate and get by. He was so much fun to have on our team. That guy was busting his ass. At one point, I was fully out of position. The guy was about to score. And next thing you know, I see this guy just sliding across the ice full body and just takes the puck in the body for
him. That's awesome.
That's great.
And I look at him and I go, bro. And he's just jacked because he stopped a goal.
Yeah.
And he almost had a couple goals in the game.
Like, that is cool.
It was so much fun. The guy, the higher skilled players are trying to feed him the puck.
It's like Rudy.
It's so. Rudy. I mean, you got your douches.
Doug Glutt.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Good point. Stay in the sport, Nick.
next one comes from our buddy Meow Sean Lynch and his family.
Oh,
meow,
yeah.
Meow. And his name is actually Freyu, and that's his Reddit handle, or Fox. He's got a whole bunch of different names, but he wrote us a really cool message. He's the man behind the cat and the costumes and the sports gear of Meow Sean Lynch and Cat Cosplay. Cat underscore cosplay on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wanted to say, hey, I owe you guys a big thank you. When I started our online social media accounts, it was a way to have fun with a little, I guess they had some Reddit fame. I'm never on Reddit. I need to get on Reddit. Reddit seems like it's fun.
No, it's just a bunch of miserable people. And then pictures of cats.
All right, I don't want to be on Reddit then.
Yeah,
there's boobies.
Sometimes.
I want to be on Reddit then. We had no goals other than spreading smiles and positivity. Then we tried filling off-season sports times and costuming and pushing the quality of our work. Fast forward to today, we're being approached by sponsors. I've even been approached by a big online geek website about writing for them. The last 3 months of Cat Cosplay being our brand, we've been featured on a bunch of places I've never heard of, but Crunchyroll, Kotaku, Game Informer, some smaller online publications. We're past 10,000 unique viewers or users between our social media accounts, and that's all from nothing. And he just said, yeah, we're a huge part of why they continued because of some self-esteem stuff. He said, your compliments and enjoyment of our work helped us give us the confidence to keep pushing myself to create bigger and better things, to brand what we're doing and expand our social reach. So thanks, you guys. Even Toppy, yes, there's stupid pictures of cats top shelf,
nice,
but they make people smile, so we keep doing it. It's pretty cool, man. He says, nothing else. We're still spreading joy, and that's how we started, and that's forever what we will be about.
That's really cool.
Been a listener for 12 years.
Wow.
Not to the Migscast. I mean, that's...
Right.
That's amazing.
That'd be amazing.
Right. But to BJ and every incarnation
and
of the show.
And I seriously love those dumb pictures. They're so great. Like, I just... Like, the fact that they have a cat cool enough to actually put into costumes that doesn't, like, shred them.
Yeah.
That's just amazing in its own right there.
Well, I've mentioned how, because of him and his cats, it's changed my tune on cats. Because I used to just think cats are miserable, antisocial Fs. And then I see these pictures. I'm like, well, at least this cat's fun. I guess there are some cats that are pretty cool.
Hashtag not all cats.
You know what? Well, we don't have time. Let's move on. Before we do, though, one last email, and this one comes from Rick. And it says, Bill Nye reads mean tweets, and it's radio gold. So I grabbed a piece of it. It's funny when you hear the celebrities read the mean things that are said to them over mm-hmm. Twitter, Facebook, whatever it may be. And here's Bill Nye doing his thing.
Hi, Bill Nye here. I'm just reviewing some of the mean tweets. People bother. They take the time to tweet about me. I f-ing hate Bill Nye. That misogynist. Here's a mean tweet. Bill Nye the Science Guy is trippy as f-. Now, I don't know exactly how trippy f- is, but I imagine it's excessively.
I like that, because you don't expect him to be swearing and things.
Right. Yeah. All right, that's all of our emails. Top shelf. It's the Mixcast. It's the
Mixcast. What's going on this week, too?
What's that?
The big motorcycle rally out at Sturgis.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I think Candlebox is playing there.
What?
And one of our Titanic douches, I think Adam, is heading there.
That's crazy.
So make sure you take pictures and post them on the Mixcast Facebook page there, buddy.
Do it.
All right, Nick,
yeah.
You do it.
Voicemails.
Voicemails it is. I think we have a couple.
Good job.
Thanks.
Hey, Top Fan!
Hey!
What's up, fellas? This is Hugo, a.k.a. Juice. I've been listening to the podcast for about 2 months now. Finally got caught up. First time calling in. Just wanted to share a story that involved the podcast. So, about 2 weeks ago, my wife and I were getting ready to go to a party, right? And just like any normal couple, it took me about 5 minutes to get ready. And it still had like, she still had like maybe 45 minutes to get ready. You know,
yep.
Next thing you know, I start telling her about the podcast. I'm like, yeah, you know, I've been listening to the new podcast. And she's like, oh yeah, what's it about? And I was like, well, you know, it's about, you know, four guys just hanging around and just talking about anything. It's pretty funny. And she's like, oh, yeah? So then I started remembering that I was listening to a podcast, one of the episodes that you guys had, and you guys mentioned a video. I think it was Migs. Migs mentioned it. He said, yeah, check this video out. And you guys all giggled. So I was like, all right. You know, I told her, you want to know what kind of stuff they're into? Let's check this video out. So she comes over, sits next to me, and next thing I go to YouTube, and I search Kate Farts. So, yeah, now I know what it is. But at the time, I didn't know. So
man.
I'm watching it. I look over. She's throwing up. I'm over here gagging. Worst thing of all, that party that we're getting ready for, it was my niece's birthday party. Oh. Went over, had to say no to all the cake that they were offering. So thanks for ruining everything, guys. And play up on Dios, bitches.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, safe search on when you look for cake farts.
You might not want to show her then the angel grapefruit video.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah,
when he said cake farts, I'm like, wow. Yeah, avoid the blue waffle. Any parties involving lemons, and any girls with two of them having one cup,
or yes. Kids in sandboxes.
Yeah,
or a guy with one glass cup.
I think, right? Yeah.
No. Mm. All right, let's check out our next voicemail.
Gosh,
hey, it's Carmack. I just wanted to have a moment of silence for one of my favorite wrestlers, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Did he hang up?
I was waiting for him to click.
Is there any more in here?
No, it's ended.
Okay.
So there was a moment of silence. Okay.
I feel kind of cold, but
yeah,
waiting for him to like say, okay, rest in peace or something.
Yeah.
What if we just never said anything after that and just that's how the podcast ended?
You should just do that.
That would be so trippy. And like people would be driving.
Yeah.
And of course, we mean no disrespect to Roddy. If you listened earlier, well, you had to have to get to this point unless you're a weird person that just fast forwards 55 minutes and starts there.
Like the end of the book.
Yeah, right. I want to know how it ends before I start it. But imagine if we did stop our podcast right there and someone's driving and they just like, you know how you zone out?
You're just waiting for it.
And you're, like, you're on like, you know, 405 for like the last 30 minutes and you're like, man, this is a really long moment of silence. All right, what's our next voicemail?
What's up, Megs? This is Stevie, the Packer fan. I just want to let you know that I'm working the night of WWE at Xfinity.
Nice.
So come on over. Juices, you are invited to section 116. Wings over Washington is my stand. I will be there.
Yummy.
Ooh.
And this weekend I got bored, so I watched a bunch of KISS videos and interviews. So if I were to imagine Kiss as the mixed cast, Steve would be Peter Criss. Toppy would be Gene Simmons would be played by Toppy.
Rude.
He's a nice tongue.
The Reb would be Paul Stanley.
Star
Mono Nick would be Ace Frehley.
The Wasteoid.
I don't know. What do you guys think? You want to change it up a bit? Go right ahead. Otherwise, see you guys around. Bye-bye.
Wouldn't it be funny if right now we got into like an actual heated argument over who gets to be Peter?
I want Peter. Yeah.
I don't know him enough.
I
want
to be that star child, man.
Can I be the kitty cat?
Dang it, let me be Gene.
Yeah, you would make more sense of being the kitty cat because you're a cat person, so you should be Peter.
And I use my tongue more than Toppy does.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. You just missed what he did right there. He
not
did the,
Oh, my God.
Oh, snap. Yeah, so Monday Night Raw is this upcoming Monday, August 10th, at the Xfinity Arena.
Are you even ready for this, man?
I'm so pumped. So pumped for it, man. I cannot wait. Myself and D. Ted Smith are going, and we are going to hit up the Why Not Sports Bar, which is right across the street from the Everett Xfinity Arena.
Nice.
So if you're getting down there early, we're going to hope to be there around 2-ish to get some drinks and eat some food.
Lots of pre-funkin'.
Yeah. Ted's taking the day off from work for this. So our plan was to record a megacast before we leave. But then we realized it might be awkward for him to be in the building recording a megacast and then not going to work, going to wrestling.
Yeah.
It just, even though it's like you're allowed days off, it just looks weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, where are you going? Oh, I'm blowing everything up to go have some drinks and eat some food and then go see wrestling. So what we're thinking
we
to
come?
Do, yeah. So what we're thinking is we're going to maybe like try and record a podcast on my phone on the drive there.
Do you want a recorder? I have a little MP3 recorder.
Oh, I got my phone.
All right, cool.
I got that new iRig microphone.
Oh, okay,
I'm
cool.
See how that works.
Nice.
It might be a completely unusable piece of audio, but we'll see.
Yeah,
we might
test out some equipment and see how it works.
We thought we'd do like a little like a break in route, then maybe do a break at the bar, and maybe do a break during the match. I don't know.
That's cool.
Yeah, during the Divas match, we'll just do a podcast.
That's hot.
Well, yeah, look at Sasha Banks. So hot.
I want to.
All right, do we have any more voicemails?
Nope.
All right, well, let's do some Facebook drama, and then we'll get out of here.
Hola.
Hola.
Señores, señoritas. We have returned once again to listen to Listy Miggs as he takes us to a time when all the bitches gather on the Facebook. They describe of Becky being a slut dog, Carl having a weird STD. But there's one thing that we can always depend on, is the fact that a Titanic douche will see it and send it so we can read Facebook drama.
Oh yeah. It's our opportunity to point out the stupidity that happens on Facebook. And thanks once again to everybody who sends us screenshots, sends us the links, whatever it is, keeping an eye out because it seems like everybody's got that friend that likes to stir it up on Facebook. This one's a good one. So let's get this going because I know, Rev, you got to get going and
wow.
My mouth is hurting.
Your mouth is hurting.
Yeah, I got a canker sore. I got
canker
a canker sore on my tongue.
Oh, that sucks.
And it is killing me.
Because
I hate these things.
It's like tongue herpes, right?
Yeah. My outbreak, man. What's herpes?
Oh, you can get away from me.
No citrus for you.
I thought that was supposed to fix it. I thought you were supposed to like take vitamin C and it gets rid of canker.
Vitamin C might help, but actual orange juice,
yeah.
The acidic.
Acid, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And you know why I think I got it? Is I've been staying away from tomatoes. And recently I'm like, well, I haven't had any problems with these canker sores anymore. Like, I've been doing this vinegar drink and it actually has been helping.
Ugh.
Like that Bragg's vinegar, whatever it is. Uh-huh. But. So then I had something, I had a burger.
And there you go.
It was a Jack in the Box burger, and I had sourdough Jack, and it had two tomatoes on it. Usually I ask for no tomatoes, but I'm like, everything's fine. Ate it.
Tomatoes wreck you, huh?
Yeah. It's,
wow.
Tomatoes are, you have to like remove certain things from your diet to see what does and doesn't. Mm-hmm. Orange juice, pineapple juice, which sucks because I like those pina coladas.
Yeah.
Or pineapples, too.
Yeah.
And tomatoes. Tomatoes are the ones that get me every time, and I love tomatoes,
That's
but I can't have them. Yeah.
That sucks, man.
All right. So playing the role of Ash, I'll play the role of Ashley. Mono Nick, why don't you be Gabrielle?
or Gabriel. How's it go?
Gabrielle.
Okay. Like Gabriel.
It's a female.
Yeah. All right. So I'll be Ashley. Mono Nick is Gabriel or Gabriel. Top Shelf, you'll be Hank. And Rev, you'll be Gordy. All right. Is summer vacation almost over? My kids are acting like such D-bags. I cannot wait to send their annoying asses back to school. I definitely feel like I need a ton of beer and to get my dance on. Don't call me Mother of the Year. Call me Mother of the Beer. Hashtag Summer of Hell.
Are you serious right now, Ashley? You're really calling your kids D-bags on social media for everyone to see? And you're talking about getting hammered? Wow. Can somebody say bad parent? If you were just trying to be funny, it was an epic fail. Children are the most innocent form of humanity. Bullying them online is just plain wrong. Hashtag stop cyberbullying.
Oh, lighten up, Gabriel. Or Gabrielle. It's just a joke. Women like you are the reason why so many people don't take us chicks seriously. You take everything so personal. My kids have been assholes all summer. Get over it. And not to change topics, but you're such a dancer. Everybody makes fun of you when you start dancing. I know I sound immature right now, but you casted the first stone, bitch.
I get so outraged when I see parents cyberbullying their kids on social media. Ashley, you need to slow your roll, honey. You think your kids are annoying because you'd rather be in the club twerking your booty on stage while getting your damn drink on? Yeah. It's time to grow up. Put down the bottle and raise your damn children. Calling them D-bags on Facebook makes you look like trailer trash.
Hank is right, Ashley. I heard you talking to your sister the other day. You were bragging about winning some booty-shaking contest. That was on your son's birthday. So you were winning money in a twerk contest while your son was having his birthday. Wow. Where do you receive your Mother of the Year award? Hashtag sarcasm.
I went to the bar the next day, and fuck yeah, I won that twerk contest. I won $250, and guess what I did with that money? I bought kids food and my son a motherfucking Chewbacca doll. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'm out this bitch. You're all bigger a-holes than my kids.
I heard you bought blow with your twerk winnings, but hey, I could be wrong. I feel so sorry for your kids. If they are a-holes, they learned it all from their Mother of the Year. Hashtag Coke is no joke.
Damn, there's some judgmental peeps up in this thread. Ashley is a great mother. Y'all just some motherfucking haters. Ain't nothing wrong with being a MILF. I like a woman who can be a mother by day and then get freaky as fuck by night. Reminds me of my favorite expression. Hey, mother, want another? Leave Ashley alone, haters. Hey, Ashley, I like the way you work it. No diggity. I gotta bag it up. Hashtag MILF. Hashtag no diggity.
That was awesome.
Whoa. Quoted the Blackstreet song, No Diggity.
You gotta bag it up.
No diggity?
Gotta bag it up.
You do have to bag it up, huh?
I like the way you work. Wow.
No diggity.
Oh, yes. Bag it up.
Oh, they said back it up. Now it makes more sense.
Right, because you want to wear a condom.
Yeah, no, you gotta bag it up. Give me bags.
Well, I was thinking about bagging up some weed.
You could do that as well.
No, but it makes more sense what you guys are talking about.
Or maybe he's just really fond of the cashier that's working at Albertsons.
And he wants 10 cents, please bag it up.
Right. All right, let's get out of here.
God damn that. I haven't heard of that song in a long time.
Now that's stuck in my head.
That and
thanks.
The Cheers song. Yeah. Hey, huge thanks to Steve Guttenberg, the Goot.
The Goot!
Star of Top Shelf's all-time favorite film, Lavalantula. He's also in some other film called Police Academy. That was awesome.
I think I heard about that one.
It was all right from what I hear. All right, so we're off to Chicago.
Wow.
You know what? Maybe we'll get some cool audio. I don't know. We'll get drunk and maybe some of it will end up. Maybe we'll call the MiGscast line.
Uh-oh.
How about both nights in Vancouver and Richmond, we even wrote little notes on our phones to remind us, and both nights we forgot.
Well.
Or we said, hey, we'll call later. We never did. You can call us 253-271-4787 or send us an email, themigscast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. We got a group. It's a fun community. And it's just The MiGscast on Facebook. So for Top Shelf, The Rev, Mono Nick, Steve Guttenberg, I'm Migs, and this is The MiGscast. Stay positive and suck it!
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.